Welcome to our podcast, Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Tunbridge Meadows by Mark Williams. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Okay, I have to apologize first for the quality of my voice today. The wind in Texas has been out of control lately, and I spent several hours outside yesterday, and my allergies have caught up with me all of that outside time.
So I told her she sounded like Eeyore.
So I was like, what? I promise I'm happier than my voice alludes. Okay, we're excited to be talking about Tunbridge Meadows today. This piece is a grade one on the Texas PML. It is in the key of concert E flat. It's about 2.5 minutes long. It starts in 3-4 and goes to 2-4. It never changes key signatures. The 3-4 stuff is a little bit slower and more lyrical in style. The 2-4 is a little faster and has a little bit more articulation in it. It does have split clarinet parts, split trumpet parts, and split trombone parts. Minimal percussion requirements for this, and range considerations, even though it is a grade one on the Texas PML, your clarinets, first clarinets, play consistently
up
over
to
the
high
break.
F. Yep.
Trumpets,
up
same,
to high F.
Same as well. Yeah. So, definitely you need to have good saxophones, good clarinets, good horns,
yep,
for this piece, but it has a lot to offer.
So this piece, again, starts off adagio and in 3-4 with a clarinet soli. They have pickups and they have one and a two and three and one and one and a two. That's the rhythm kind of at the beginning. So it's got some 16th notes, a little bit of trickier counting with some ties in there. I definitely think Laura and I agree this is more like a 1.75.
Yeah.
This is definitely a little bit of a trickier grade one, but it is beautiful. Everybody else, it's written beautifully so that they're going to play underneath the clarinet soli. There's a little A natural accidental in the trombone one part that you have to be aware of and make sure the tuning is okay. The bells and flute and oboe do not play the first time. The piece has a DS all coda, so they play on the DS time only. There is a crescendo leading into measure 5. And then there's the clarinets keep going, but now the clarinet 1 and the clarinet 2 are both above the break.
The lyrical nature of this beginning is a great opportunity, if your band is ready for it, to really use this for phrasing purposes, to teach shaping. It's got a real, I think it just musically makes sense how you would shape the phrase for the melodic line. And then in terms of where to breathe and where not to breathe, being really intentional about that is going to help to make this as smooth and lyrical as possible. There is a little bit of movement in the low brass here in this section. They're just playing eighth notes, but it's really important to make sure that it's as legato as possible and doesn't sound bumpy at all.
And the trombone 2 and euphonium and tuba have the same part there, along with bassoon and bass clarinet, but the trombone 1 part mirrors the horn and alto part, tenor sax part. So it is a little bit tricky if you don't have kids that can be independent of each other. You'd have to have a pretty good trombone section, as I just mentioned, with the two trombone parts moving totally differently. Then you've got the end of this first phrase going into measure 9 with a little suspended cymbal roll and a crash right on measure 9. And the trumpets come in with the same melody that the clarinets just had.
So we pass it to flute and trumpet
and flute
here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the clarinets.
This is where flute
themselves
and oboe come in, mm-hmm, since they didn't play the first time. The bells also come in with them at this moment. So everybody else is playing underneath them, just a nice pretty little harmony. Clarinets get this cool little like counter melody line that's really pretty, and they're under the break again. The trombone part goes up to a C's and D's in this section at measure 12 and 13. And then at measure 12 to 13, the whole band is leading up to the impact point at 13. Flute, clarinet 1, and oboe, along with only trumpet 1, keep going on the melody. And bells, sorry. And then we have, that's a great moment too, by the way, to make sure that nobody's taking a breath. There's right. a big crescendo that's teaching those like phrasing skills to students, giving them other places that they can take a breath. And then at 14, the horns and the altos have like a little, response. Just a little response yeah. to the melody. And then the melody finishes out that phrase back all the way in all clarinets, all trumpets, flute, and oboe. Everybody else, again, is just underneath them playing in chords with a little, what I call a sigh whenever this is written in music. And two, three. So it's just like getting softer. And then we get to the 2-4 time signature change, and it goes allegro.
So at the allegro section here, it's an immediate tempo change, and we have xylophone and tambourine and clarinet that are laying down the pulse with eighth notes. It's going to be really important that the clarinets do their best to match the articulation of the xylophone, and it's written on a top line F for the first clarinets and a fourth line D for the second clarinets. So when you're over the break like that, it's not always easy for young players to get that really crisp articulation. I make my clarinets practice it on low E. So we play low E, and if they can play really crispy and nice and light staccato on that low E, it's the same type of air and articulation that they will use when they're over the break. But you want to make sure that they're really listening to the xylophone and the tambourine. Then the altos and horns get to have some fun melody here. It's a dotted 8/16 rhythm. It does have a pickup note. All of the melodic lines in here have a pickup note. And one, a two, and one, two. So again, the firmness of articulation on that dotted 8/16 needs to match what's happening in the clarinets and in the percussion. And then making sure that the altos, tenor, and horns align perfectly on that rhythm.
And they have an 8-measure phrase, so that's something that you would have to work on with them, making sure that they don't breathe in the middle or find other sneaky spots to take a breath if they have to take a breath.
And it's in 2-4, right? So right. an 8-measure phrase is not that big of a deal. Your brass, with the exception of the horns, are completely laying out right here, so it's kind of a nice little face break for them.
Then we have the melody getting picked up and added in on the flute and the trumpet. The flutes are on a high E flat above the staff. So, I mean, that's pretty high when you think about it. The horns, by the way, in this melody are up to a D. So it's just a little bit more highly written in their range, in my opinion. So this is just first trumpet that comes in. Oboes join in with the clarinets on the ostinato eighth note part. And then second trumpets add in to have them finish off the melody. They have a fun little accent. It's the first time we've had an accent in the piece. Two and one and one and two. So they get to have a little syncopation. There's a real pretty chord in the clarinets above them. And then they have the end of the melody, and the whole band has and one. So another little syncopated moment, again with an accent, a staccato, and then a housetop accent. So you want to make sure you line up all those stylistic markings.
And where this happens, this is 2 measures before 35. So measure 33. The trumpets are the only ones who take the phrase all the way to beat one. So like the clarinets, what I have found when I've played this before, the clarinets have a half note in measure 32. And then when they do not want to hold that note long enough, it needs to touch the silence, sound to silence in measure 33, where the entire band except trumpets have a rest on beat one. And then they finish out that syncopated phrase, and one. The whole ensemble comes in at that point on that syncopation.
And the trumpets are holding a D below the staff, so make sure you're kicking and tuning it to make sure you're ending the phrase in a nice way. Then we have pickups on beat two going into measure 35, and we're back to the lyrical style, even though we're in 2-4.
And it's faster.
We're having flute, oboe, and clarinet. They have the same type of melody that the trumpets just kind of gave us beforehand. Everybody else needs to play softer underneath them. We have a little bit more excitement in the percussion coming up, and then the trumpets take over and join the upper woodwinds with the end of the melody. The whole band has some accents in measure 40. And then we have a sforzando piano at 41. So that's really important to practice everybody hitting it quickly right away, strong, and then going all the way down to a level two mm-hmm. dynamic so that you can build it up again. I frequently will tell my upper people, like, the clarinet one is on a high C. I don't think I would actually have anybody play a high C here.
Yeah.
I would rewrite that so that the clarinets were playing the same thing under the break. And then just going up to a regular third space C. But either way, what I was about to say is I usually just tell my upper woodwinds not to do a crescendo at all and rely upon the lower voices to really carry through that crescendo.
Yes.
So that's a good way to make it sound full without it sounding top heavy and
bright.
And bright. Yeah. Yes. Everybody releases on beat two. And then we have another and pickup going into 43. We're back to alto horn tenor sax with the melody. It's the same as before. With the xylo and the clarinets holding down the fort underneath them. The trumpets take over with the melody again. But this time at 49, the trumpets just had the end of the melody. And then at 49, the low voices have a little echo of it. And they're getting softer and softer, and we're getting slower. Then the flutes have an echo of it for two measures. Then the sax and the horn have it again. So we're getting slower and slower, but we're having these little echoes, and everybody else is just holding long chords. So this would be a part where you'd really have to make sure tuning is really set.
Yes.
And quiet underneath these little two-bar phrase echoes, because it's not that many kids playing it. So that would be a part where you might need to also say, like, only one on a part plays here while the, you know, the flutes and the oboes have the echo. And then we're getting slower and slower because we're about to DS back to the beginning, basically.
So we go back to that adagio 3-4
yep, at measure
and
one
and a 2 and 3 and 1. But now we add the counter melody in the flute and oboe that was not there the first time, in the bells that was not there the first time. So it's a little different. But what I like about this is it's relatively easy to teach because of the DS, there's a lot of repeated rhythms and things in it. So that part is really nice. But, you know, the phrasing and the maturity of sound, especially the ranges, I think are ultimately what makes this challenging.
Yep. Then the flutes and the oboes, as she mentioned, had that counter melody. They go back to having the melody at 9, just like the first time. And then at measure 14, we go to the coda. And it ends out in this lyrical manner. It's pretty thickly scored here. So the like flute, trumpet, oboe, and clarinet one have the end of the phrase. Horn and alto have a response to that. Then the trumpets end up having the end of the phrase together. Everybody else is playing chords. And then there's like a little suspension chord on beat three of the third measure of the coda. And then horn and alto end, well, not end it, but they are about to end it with the 1 and a 2 and 3. And then we have a 4-4 measure. The trumpets play the melody one last time. 1 and a 2 and 3, 4, 1. And then we end with a really nice chord. Nobody's up high in this case. And I thought it sounded really nice on the recording that I heard. So probably don't have to rebalance it or anything. And it ends really, really quietly. So there's just not a lot of like pulse stuff to help you in this piece. Like there's not a snare drum very often.
Right.
There's not a lot. There's a tambourine and the clarinet.
And
but
xylophone,
like
yeah.
Your kids have to have a really good sense of pulse. Mm-hmm. They have to be willing to work on mature, beautiful music and really work on phrasing and some little bit trickier counting because of ties. Dotted eighth notes, 16th notes, things
not
like that.
Not compressing that,
yes.
1 and a 2. And at that adagio tempo, that's
right.
And slurred, that's
yeah.
Real easy for them to do.
So this is definitely one of those pieces that will stretch your band,
mm-hmm.
But that we both think is just absolutely gorgeous. And we hope that you will find a way to program a Tunbridge Meadows in the future. Thanks for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.